Again, I wanted to say, as has been said a few times, happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers out here. I figure it's appropriate, since we're talking about Father's Day, that I'd share one of my favorite stories about my dad. I was probably about 4 years old, and we were outside in the yard, and he was doing some yard work, and I was out there playing, trying to help him, And I remember that I was going over to our swing set that he had built for me, and I went over to my favorite swing on the swing set. And I get there, and there's a problem because there's a spider on the swing that had built a nest, and so of course I couldn't sit on the swing. So I go get my dad, who's busy doing something else, and he comes over and he looks at it and he tells me, well, just go knock it down. And thinking back, I realized I think the reason he wanted me to knock it down is because I don't think he wanted to knock it down. But again, as a four-year-old, I'm saying, no, I'm not going to knock that spider down. And so we have this dilemma. And so he tells me that it's okay because the spider's asleep, because spiders are nocturnal, which to a preschooler, nocturnal doesn't mean a whole lot. But he tells me that that means they're awake at night and they're sleeping during the day. And so anyway, we knocked it all off, and then it was all better, and I swing. And so later that night, I'm getting ready for bed, and I have to check under my chest of drawers, making sure there's no monsters in there. I didn't find any monsters, but I did find a spider. So I called my dad up, because I can't go to sleep, now there's a spider in my room, and he tells me it's okay because the spider's asleep. And I say, no, do you remember you told me that spiders are awake at night and they sleep during the day? And he's like, oh yeah. Well, so that's when he explains the difference between you've got outdoor spiders and you have indoor spiders. Outdoor spiders are asleep at night, or awake at night and sleep during the day. Indoor spiders, they sleep at night and are awake during the day, just like humans. And I was like, okay, but then what happens if an outdoor spider comes inside, and that's what he is? And he says they immediately, when they come in through your window, they turn into an inside spider. And so for a four-year-old, apparently that was good enough because I believed him. And as I got older, I started thinking back, and I realized that I think there were a lot of things he taught me that contained that exact same rationalization and were just as legitimate as those spider facts. But hey, it worked, so whatever, and moved on. So, but I always remember that. And that story really doesn't have anything to do with the sermon today, but again, I thought since it's Father's Day, I'd tell one of my favorite dad stories. But here are a few more dadisms, these things that are universally known as, these are just things that dads say. And so I don't know whether maybe these are things that you've heard your father say, or maybe some of you fathers have said them yourselves. But I've got five of these dadisms I'm going to share, and I want to see if maybe you can identify with a couple of these. So number five is simply ask your mother. And I think that's probably one of the most common ones, and moms probably know more than anybody else how common that one's used. Number four is, you have it so easy. When I was a kid and we were going to school, I had to walk to school 5 miles uphill both directions and snow up to my waist and so on and so forth. And everything was worse. Number three was, turn off those lights, you're wasting electricity. And so you would sit in the dark doing your homework because you can't turn on your lamp because you're wasting electricity. Number two is, and I don't know if anybody, this one may vary for different people, different generations. For me, it was, why would you pay that much for a pair of jeans that looked like they've already been worn by somebody else? And then lastly, I want to see if you guys can finish this one with me. I think everyone's heard this one, so let's see if you can finish it with me. He's laying there like this, and he says, I'm not sleeping. I'm just resting my eyes. All right, well, since it's Father's Day, like I said, we're going to be continuing the series talking about desiring the best. And today, specifically, we're going to talk about how God, as our Father, truly desires the best for us. He truly desires to give us best things, give us good gifts. I want you to think about your favorite gift that you've ever received. And it can be a Christmas gift, a birthday gift, whatever. But your favorite gift that you've ever received. And I have several that come to mind for me. But I think the one that really sticks out as a gift that I really remember was my Christmas, when I was a month before I was turning 5 years old. And I got my very first real bicycle equipped with training wheels and everything. And I loved my bike. I had a lot of great memories of that bike. From that point, for a couple of years after, I have a lot of really good memories on that bike. But I also have a lot of painful memories about that bike, especially since that summer was then the year that I learned to ride that bike without training wheels. So I have a lot of good memories and I have a lot of painful memories, but to this day I still consider it one of my favorite gifts, yet it wasn't always a fabulous experience. It had its good days, had its bad days, but it was worth the tears and the bruises and a little bit of blood. And now thinking about prayer, because that was something I had asked for a bike for a long time, and so they finally got it for me. And so thinking about as we ask God for things and we pray to Him, prayer is so foundational to who we are as Christians, and it's a key aspect of our faith. But at the same time, for some reason, it's such a difficult thing to understand when we discuss it. And I think the reason why is because of that age-old dilemma of how God answers our prayers. And I think this goes hand in hand with the theme of desiring the best, because God always desires to give us the best. And we know that with our heads. We know that God desires to give us the best. Sometimes we don't see it. We don't really understand it. And sometimes we pray for what's best. Sometimes we get it and we're praying and our prayers line up with His will. We pray for what's best, but sometimes we don't. And that doesn't mean that it's necessarily we're praying for something bad, but sometimes we're settling for something good instead of what He really has in store for us. Sometimes God's blessings and gifts are clear answers to our prayer. Sometimes we really see it. But then there's other times that we really miss the bigger picture of what He's really trying to do in our lives. We had work camp last week, as you know. One of my favorite things about work camp is seeing the homeowners' faces as they see the work we're doing, especially once they get a chance to see the finished product. And these homeowners are so impressed and they're so grateful because we really do try to go above and beyond what they expected. So they know that we're doing these specific things, but we try to do some more things. Sometimes, of course, we do the painting, but then there's other times we try to fix little things, or we'll paint a lawn chair, or we'll pay attention to the little details. And these homeowners don't expect from teenagers to do these extra things. They don't expect us to try to do more than what's necessary. And I think that's similar to God's gifts, because let's forget for a moment the times that we do ask for selfish things or we're asking for the wrong things. Many times, really all we're doing is we're asking for good things. We expect good. We're anticipating God's good enough. But He has a vision for more. He has a bigger picture for us. He truly desires the best for us. Now, it's easier to see that on a painted house. It's easier to see the extra things and the things that really make it work, but it's a lot more difficult to see God's bigger vision for our lives. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7. Matthew 7, 7 through 12 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this sums up the laws and the prophets." Now if you take a look at the next one, you can see that Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 11 are very similar. The difference is Matthew says your Father in heaven will give good gifts to those who ask Him. And Luke says your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. And scholars have talked about this and they've discussed this, and this nuance has been discussed a lot. And we can go round and round, but it's not going to get us anywhere today, and so we won't. But I don't think we necessarily have to fully understand it or agree on why or how this difference exists to understand a piece of truth that we can learn from it. If you notice that the idea of God giving good gifts in Matthew chapter 7, it's kind of left open. There's a variety of angles that you can see this from. Is Jesus talking about material gifts such as wealth or the status, or when you pray for the best parking spot and it comes open, or you pray for no rain on your wedding day? Is he talking about those kind of things, or is Jesus talking about spiritual gifts such as counsel and love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control and such blessings like that? I think that Luke, the fact that he takes this time to specify the Holy Spirit, helps us to see the real intent of Jesus' words. He's not talking here about giving good gifts of material blessings, but spiritual blessings. Now, do I think that God blesses us with material things? Yes, sometimes I know he does. But that alone, I guess my question is that alone the sole purpose of these gifts? Is him giving these material things, is that alone the blessing in and of itself? And I think it's easier for us to understand in the context of material blessings to see that this idea that there's a purpose greater than the gift itself. And sometimes, at least for me personally, I get that. Sometimes I can see that there's more to it, but a lot of times I don't. A lot of times I miss that. Are prayers for material things wrong? No, they're usually not. But I think there's more to it. And I think it would help us a lot if we really started to see it from that way, that there's more to the blessings he gives us. And I really have a difficult time with this idea of prosperity theology, this idea of health and wealth gospel, that's all God is giving us, is that if you ask where he's going to give it, and if you really have enough faith, you're going to be blessed with all these material things. I have a problem with that because I think the point is greatly missed when that's what we're waiting for. I think it becomes really easy for us to become obsessed with just the stuff itself and these things that he's giving us, rather than the larger blessing of God that comes surrounding the stuff, the material things. So when we come to God asking for blessings, what is our motivation? And I'm not saying that there's not times we can't be selfish. I think that, honestly, that's part of this idea of prayer and petition. I think God asks us to bring our prayers to him, our petitions to him. He wants us to bring our burdens to him. But I think that we would also do well and help ourselves out by trusting that God really knows what's best for us. Trusting that our idea of what's good and God's idea of what's good may not always match up perfectly. And that doesn't at all mean that we should stop praying for what we believe is good. But what I'm saying is we should have, I think it'd be good for us to have a better understanding and an acceptance of his answers to our prayers and his blessings. And whether it makes sense to us at the time or not, I think it's good for us to be open to the fact that God has a bigger vision for us. Now, does God ever promise that his blessings, the things that he gives us, are going to be carefree and great all the time? No. I think it's kind of like that bike I got for Christmas. It was great and I loved it, but again, it came with its good days and its bad days. It took time to learn to ride it. It took time to learn to get that feel without the training wheels. It took sometimes crashing and running into things. I loved it. It was my favorite gift, but it wasn't always smooth sailing. And I think it's the same way with God. God gives in good and perfect ways. But his wisdom of what's perfect doesn't always connect with us. We don't always understand it. And people have said before, you've probably heard this, they say things like, be careful about praying for patience because God often exercises our patience through a long, strenuous workout. It's not just something that he's going to give you. He's not just giving you this patience. It's something that's built over time. And so the things that come with it, sometimes it's like learning to ride that bike. It's not easy. It's not always fun. But it takes time and you get it. And I think that it's like that with, I think God commonly does that with a lot of spiritual gifts, a lot of spiritual blessings that he gives us. It's not always the way we expected it, and it might not have always come in the way that we asked. But maybe we just weren't ready for the full weight of it. And when we pray for good gifts, are we really prepared for the challenge that may follow? Are we really ready to say that when I pray for this and God, I want you to bless me with this, are you prepared for the challenge that may come with that? Jesus, in what we read in Matthew chapter 7 and Luke 11, Jesus clearly says, if you ask and you seek and you knock, that it will happen. But will it happen as we expect it to happen? No, not always. But if you read through scripture, and this is from the beginning in Genesis all the way to the end, it's a story of God's relationship with his people. And over again, we see God as a God with bigger plans, with a bigger truth, and with a greater cause. And all of it is for us, but we don't always see it. And you can read all through the Bible where we as humans have missed that point, that God has bigger visions for us, and we don't always see it. And we're able to look back and read these stories and see it in hindsight, but the same thing is happening for us today. And so therefore, we have this thing that we call faith. If you look at Romans 8:28, and this is this was a favorite verse of one of my greatest mentors growing up. It says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Or if you can also take this and you can look at it as being read that God works with those who love him for good. And this translated a couple of different ways, but either way you look at it, either way you want to read it, God uses those ups and those downs, the good days and the bad days in our life for the good for us. And so again, the question is, will we join him in living for and desiring the best things in life, in the eternal life? Does our faith allow us to really see that that's what God is doing, that God is working in the good and the bad? Let's take a look at another scripture that has kind of a similar message. It's in James chapter 1, 16 through 18. And that's not it. But we're looking at James chapter 1, verse 16 through 18. It says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. And again, there's this idea of God working with us to fulfill his purpose. He showers us from above. We're invited to take those gifts that he gives us, those blessings that he gives us. We're invited to take those into the world around us. And I think it's so easy to look around in our world, and we can see it in our families, we can see it in our friends and our communities in the world. It's easy to see the hurt and the evil and the death and the pain that's in the world. But we as Christians, as these Christ followers, need to exemplify the goodness of God, the things that God has given us, the blessings that he's given us, and the way that he's given us these gifts. We need to exemplify the goodness of God in the great days and those joyful times, and also in the bad days and in the painful times. We know that God works it all for good, and he asks us to be a part of that effort also. But is that always easy? No, it's not. But desiring the best, unfortunately, will never be easy. If we're settling for good, I think sometimes, again, it's just because it's a fear of wanting more, of desiring the best, because we know it won't be easy. We know sometimes it's going to be difficult and it's going to hurt. There are so many people around us, though. So many people in here, so many people in our families, again, people in our lives, at work, wherever. There are so many people around us who don't know that God desires good, and that his goodness is perfect and is always the best. When God says he wants good for us, it's the best for us. And again, that's not the norm in our world. And so we have so many people that only have lives, and the people in their lives that are full of hate and emptiness and death. And those are the places where God works best. Those are the places where God is strongest. And he uses us, and he sends us into those places to be that light also. Now, I don't know what kind of father you had, what your experience is with your dad. You might have had a great father that gave good gifts. And by gifts, I don't mean just bikes and toys and things like that. I mean something more metaphorical, but also something more powerful, something that's life-changing. Maybe he gave good gifts, but like anyone else, he was imperfect. Or you might have had a father that gave great physical gifts, but didn't really give so much these other gifts of love. Or you might have had a father that gave bad, hurtful, life-changing gifts. Or you might be none of the above because your father was absent in one way or another. And all these backgrounds, we come from all these places in our lives. And these backgrounds might make us who we are, but no matter who you are, you have a Heavenly Father, a God who loves you and wants to give you good gifts. And it's easier to share that message about our God with other people if we can come to understand it first. It's a lot easier for us to say that God wants to give you gifts when we've experienced it and we've accepted it. And we know that that's really what God wants for us. God does love you and he wants to give good gifts to you. And I can't tell you what these gifts will be, and they may not be exactly what you expect. They may not be exactly what you're looking for and what you're anticipating, but I can tell you that when God gives something good, in reality, it's the best. His good is the best. Good in his eyes is better than we can know. In Ephesians 3, 20 through 21, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. If you truly believe that he can do more, if you truly believe that what he desires as good is more than we can imagine, if you truly believe that God gives good gifts, and if you truly believe that all things do work together for the good of those who believe in him and trust in him, then may you accept God's working in wisdom and love. I promise that he won't fail you. He is a good God who gives good gifts. He is a God who loves us. And your day-to-day life may be up and down. That's, again, him blessing you doesn't mean that things are going to be easy. Your day-to-day life will be up and down, and there may be times that you're really confused and lost, but just desire the best things, and God will give them to you. The best things are rarely physical blessings, and the ones that do come with great material blessings, I believe, also come with a bigger cause and a bigger purpose. God wants to give us good gifts. And the question is, do you accept them? And if you do accept them, do you also accept the responsibility that might come with them? Do you accept him? And do you accept the life that comes with him? God really does have plans for you, no matter where you are in your life. No matter where you are, God has plans for you. And does that mean that your day-to-day life is planned out, that God knows exactly, has it planned out what you're going to do? I don't know. But what it does mean is that you're invited to work with him. You're invited to be a part of what he's doing, and he'll give you what you need. He will bless you with the things you need to glorify him. He'll bless you with the things that you need that are best for you. Whether you recognize it at the time or not, he does take care of you. And we're about to sing this song called How Deep the Father's Love for Us. And it really is impossible for us to know. It's impossible for us to really comprehend the love that God has for us, the goodness that's in him, and the things that he wants to bless us with. But he is a loving father who desires commitment from us and a covenant relationship with us. And that's why he gave us Jesus, which is the best gift. And it's much better than a bicycle or toys. The things that God gives us, the best of all was Jesus and life through him. And so if you want to accept his blessings, if you want to be a part of him today, if you need any kind of prayer or help from this church, then you're invited to come forward, ask for that now as we stand and sing the song together.